I'd like to welcome everyone out to the Heatheridge Sixth Ward Sacrament Meeting, especially for those visiting maybe for the first time. I also like to acknowledge Brother Martinez from the High Council on the stand. And a couple of brief announcements. Just again, another reminder, General Conference will start on March 31st and also on April 1st. And then this is maybe somewhat of a plea. We're having choir practice at 3:30 here at the chapel in preparation for a sacrament choir number. So I would encourage all those who would like to participate, and even those who might not want to participate, come at 3:30 here at the chapel. The opening hymn is hymn 227, "There is Sunshine in My Soul Today." And the invocation will be offered by Brother Chris Beckstead.
Our dear gracious Father in heaven, we are thankful for this Sabbath day and the opportunity we have to come and worship together and partake of the sacrament. Thankful for the gospel. Thankful for our prophet, President Nelson, and First Presidency Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and the upcoming opportunity we have to get direction from Thee through them. Thankful for our stake presidency and our bishopric. Please bless them and their families. Thankful for the missionaries serving throughout the world, especially those from our ward. Please bless them, sustain them, and help them to find thy elect. Thankful for the freedoms we enjoy in this country and those that have sacrificed for us to enjoy them today. Please bless the speakers that will be speaking to us today, that they may feel the Spirit, that we can be edified together, and they can share the thoughts that would have us here today. Please bless those that have prepared for the other meetings today. They can have the Spirit accompany them as well. Please bless those that are sick or struggling from our war today, that they can be blessed and edified, and those that aren't here today can know of our love for them. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to turn the time over to Brother Martinez for some stake business.
The stake presidency has asked that I conduct the following business. With the following, please stand if present. Tara Alwaldron of the Heatheridge First Ward has been called a stake assistant young women camp director. We propose that she be sustained. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may manifest. Thank you very much.
We have a few items of business today. We've released the following individuals. Janet Sperry, Young Women's Camp Director. McKay Perkins, Primary Music Leader. And Kristen Perkins, Primary Pianist. We propose that they be given a vote of thanks for their service, and all those who wish to express it, their appreciation, may do so by the uplifted hand. We have called the following individuals. Please stand as your name is read. Alisa Jackman, Young Women's Camp Director. Lynn Perkins, Primary Pianist. We propose that they be sustained, and those in favor may show it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, by the same sign. Thank you. You may be seated. Sam Shaw, can he please come on? Oh, there he is. We propose that Sam Shaw be ordained a priest in the Aaronic priesthood. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. I did miss one item of ward business. We have received the records of the following members. Please stand as your name is read. Mark Bradford, Janice Bradford, Boyd Bradford, Daphne Bradford, Philip Bradford, Nicholas Bradford, and then and also Ian Nelson. Those who wish to welcome these members into full fellowship in the Heatheridge 6th Ward may do so by the uplifted hand. Thank you. We have a great set of speakers today. Our youth speaker is Kobe Gazaway. Our first speaker then after Kobe will be Scott Hill. The intermediate hymn is hymn 26, Joseph Smith's first prayer. And our concluding speaker will be Larry Shaw.
Today I'm giving a talk on how the Lord answers prayers. In Doctrine and Covenants chapter 88, verse 63, we read, "Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Elder Scott said, "Communication with our Father in heaven is not a trivial matter. It is a sacred privilege. It is based upon unchanging principles. When we receive help from our Father in heaven, it is in response to faith, obedience, and proper use of agency. We all have the opportunity to seek the Lord diligently and draw near unto him through prayer. One of the most important lessons that we can learn as a child is to pray to our Heavenly Father. We can always turn to him in prayer and know that he will listen and answer our prayers. Sometimes his answer isn't the answer we're looking for. Our Heavenly Father loves us, and he always answers our prayers in the way that is best for us. Sometimes the answer will be yes, sometimes no. Sometimes wait, and sometimes he will let us work out the answer by ourselves. We should feel comfortable in going to our Heavenly Father in prayer with our thoughts, problems, and needs. Through prayer, we will have assurance that no matter how difficult the decision or how big the problem that we have to face, we can always have the help and comfort of a loving and wise Heavenly Father. H. Burke Peterson said, "I want you to know that I know that whenever one of Heavenly Father's children kneels and talks to him, he listens. I know this as well as I know anything in this world, that Heavenly Father listens to every prayer from his children. I know that our prayers ascend to heaven no matter what we may have done wrong. He listens to us. I pray that we will be more sincere in seeking the Lord through prayer. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."
Morning, brothers and sisters. It's a pleasure for me to speak to you today. They asked me to talk on family history, which, period. I mean, that was it. So it's a broad topic. I had a lot of leeway on what I was saying, and the biggest challenge I had was focusing in on what things I should talk to you today about. I basically want to go, and I want to talk briefly about what family history is, and then I want to talk about the blessings that we receive from doing family history, and then I want to talk mostly about the ways that we can do family history and the things that, and how we can do it. This first part, I think pretty much everyone understands what family history is. I mean, it's part, you know, the plan of salvation was, part of it was that we come to this earth, we receive a body, and there's certain ordinances that we have to complete while we're here on this earth as part of being able to return to our Heavenly Father. And family history is basically a means by which we can gather that information so that those ordinances can be performed for our ancestors. And so basically, we are helping our ancestors obtain the ordinances of salvation that they need. There's a lot of ways that we can get there, but and there's a lot of things you can do with family history. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is that family history is to provide information for performing saving ordinances. And you can't really talk about family history without talking about family, without talking about temple work. I mean, basically, they go hand in hand. You can't do temple work without family history. And at the same time, there's no point in doing the family history if you're not going to do temple work. So they just go together. I want to talk a little bit about the blessings that we can receive from participating in family history. At the Roots Tech conference that was held a few weeks ago, for those that may not know, the Roots Tech is a conference. It's sponsored by Family Search. It's held in the spring, in February, March of every year. It's the largest genealogy conference in the world. And it's held in the Salt Palace in Salt Lake. It's really a great event. It was a lot of fun to attend. And one of the speakers there, Elder Nelson, Elder Oaks spoke as one of the keynote speakers. And he talked about, at the opening part of his talk, he talked about one of the reasons that we do family history is that there was a study that was done in the South, in a university in the South, that talked about the benefits of knowing your ancestors. And he talked about how if we know our ancestors, it strengthens our families, our individual families. Just the fact that we know information about our ancestors. And the study that he referred to was actually one that was reported in the New York Times back in 2013 by Bruce Fellier. And he told how he was at a family reunion, an extended family reunion, and the family, there was just kind of a blow up in the family, and they had the families, they all kind of split off and they were having problems getting along. And so he was talking to his dad about this and he said, you know, our family's falling apart. And he went and he said, and this made him interested in what is it that makes families successful. And he went back and so he started doing some research on this to see what are the things that make families strong and make them successful. And he found found several research studies. He talked to several experts in the field and he interviewed different families. And the thing that he came away with was that the single best indicator of what makes families strong is that they know about their family history, that they know their ancestors. And they do that, they measured that by what they called 20 questions. And those 20 questions were things like, you know, where did your grandparents grow up? Where did your parents go to high school? Where did your parents meet? So there were 20 questions like this. And based on how many of those the kids were able to answer indicated how strong their family was and how well they were as successful as an individual as well. And so there's a lot of benefits that come from doing family history. And there was a conference that held at the Linden Family History Center yesterday. In one of the presentations, there was a slide that was put up that showed talks and quotes from different church leaders that talked about all the blessings that can, you know, we receive by doing family history. And I'm not going to go through those because, you know, there's a lot of different talks that can do that. But the one thing that I want to say is that there's obviously blessings that come to our ancestors by us doing family history, but there's also blessings that we receive as an individual and as a family from doing family history. Just like with any of the commandments, whether it's the law of tithing, the word of wisdom, any of these commandments have an associated blessing with them. And the same is true with family history, that if there's associated blessings with doing that, And I have sensed those in my own family. You know, I've sensed blessings that we have received from participating in family history. And I'm very much, I enjoy doing family history, I love it, but I don't have the same level as love as my wife does. And so I think I attribute most of the blessings we receive to her efforts in this area, but I do believe that there's blessings to be received as a family by our participating in family history. And I want to talk a little bit now about just what are some of the ways that we can do family history. You know, the technology has advanced over the last few decades by leaps and bounds. It's amazing what things we can do today, the power that we hold in our phones, you know, and the technology. And this technology has advanced the family history work by leaps and bounds as well. And the argument can be made that that technology has become available because of the need to do family history. And I believe that. I believe that a lot of the advances that have been made are so that we can be more efficient at doing this family history work. And so some of the things that are available now that weren't available is, you know, the Family Search app is just makes it so much easier to do family history than it ever was in the past. You can sit down at your computer at home in your pajamas, whatever, and you can work, you can do all your family history. There's not the need. You used to have to go to Salt Lake, you had to go to a library, you had to read microfiche. That's not necessary anymore. The technology is available. You can do that in your on your phone, on your mobile device, your laptops. You can do this family history work. And part of that is not only searching through records to find information about your ancestors, but it's also recording memories about your family that you can save to preserve information for your ancestors. I mean, it is so easy now to take a picture with your phone and upload that directly to Family Search. It just happens automatically. And you can that can be saved to an individual on your tree, or you can record histories of your ancestors. I had a cousin that contacted me about a year ago, and he was, I hadn't seen him for quite a few years. He'd been diagnosed with cancer, and he was fighting through that. And he just said, yeah, I'd really like to get together with you and your siblings and just talk. And so it happened that the rest of my family, my brothers and sisters, were coming to visit us. And so I set it up to that we could set up a time to go meet with him. And it just turned into a session about, oh, do you remember this? And do you remember when this happened? And all of this kind of information. And fortunately, I remembered that with the Family Search app now, you can just, on your phone, you can just push a button and it will record an audio session for you, and then it uploads that directly to your family tree. And so I did that at this meeting. I didn't even, you know, announce it or say that I was doing it. I just pulled out my phone and did it. And he died about 2 weeks after that. And I'm really grateful that I have that information and those memories, because there was stuff that we talked about that I had forgotten about and stuff that I didn't ever know about. But now it's recorded. I have access to it, but even better than that, it's on the family tree. And so all of my siblings, my ancestors, my cousins can listen to those as well and learn more about their ancestors. And you can do that with photos. You can take pictures of gravestones. You can take pictures of family heirlooms. You can take pictures of your ancestors. I mean, there's just tremendous things you can do, and it's so easy to do those things right now. And you can do them with your mobile devices. Another thing that I want to talk about too is that one of the biggest advancements in the last few years with in family history work is what's referred to as genetic genealogy. And so basically that's using your DNA to find out more about your ancestors and your history. And the thing about it is that the more people that take the DNA test, then the more information that becomes available to everybody. And the number of people that are taking those tests is increasing exponentially. And the other thing that's interesting is that the technology to analyze that information is rapidly advancing as well. And they're able to learn a lot more things from the information they obtain from a DNA test than they have before. And I'm sure that that's just going to continue to get better and better. So the problem is, though, that you can only take a DNA test while you're living. And so I just want to stress, I would like to plead with people that they look at their family situations, and I think about our corner of wisdom over here, and I hope that they have all had their DNA tests done. And the thing is that it's not hard. 10, 15 hours of study, you can be ready for your DNA test. It's not hard to do. I'm just kidding. All you do is spit into a cup. And so there's no study involved. You just spit into a cup or you take a swab and you send the results in and you get them back, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. And so if you haven't taken it, do it. It costs, I mean, the price is $50 to $100. Sometimes you can get them on sale for $50. Sometimes they're more. Just being watched for a sale, but don't watch too long. I mean, just but get these done. And the thing too is that if you have older siblings or parents or that are still living and haven't done it, then I think you need to encourage them to try and get it. And maybe even give them a DNA test for their birthday or for Christmas. Our daughter gave Carol and I one for Christmas. We already had them. We'd done them a few years ago, but it was still the nice thought that they thought about that to do it. But just do it, okay? That's something that will be important for you to have, but the information that you're going to get is going to be something that you can use for years going forward, but if you don't do it while they're alive, you're going to lose that information forever. So it's something you really need to think about doing. The other thing I wanted to talk about too is that there's some really fun games that you can do related to family history. And I know that LES families are always looking for fun activities to do on Sunday that are wholesome and uplifting and don't involve sports and other things, but there's some really fun games on Family Search now. You can download these, and there's one that's called Family Fortune. Basically, it's like the Wheel of Fortune, and it, you know, there's one that's called Genioperty, which is a takeoff of Jeopardy. And is what they do is they take and they download information from your tree about your ancestors, and then it puts it into a game format, and so you can play. And it's a fun game for kids to play, even adults, but you also learn about your family history. You learn about your ancestors. And it's a great thing to do at reunions as well. So look into those too. And you kids, talk to your parents. Make sure they remember to get those games out. When you want to do something on Sunday, that's the thing to do. And so you'll love it, and you'll also learn about it. They told me I could take all the time I wanted, but I'm not going to. So I want to close by talking about one last thing, and that is that you know, the stake has a goal that for every member, and I don't know if that's adult members or if that's members 12 and older or what it is, but every member to submit an ancestor's name to the temple. So, right, so that's our stake goal, and there was a conference yesterday held. It was the Linden Family History Conference. It was it's a six stake. There's six stakes together that form this Family History Center, and they have a conference once a year. It's always about this time of year. But one of the presentations was the bishop from the second ward in our stake, and he talked about how they increased their submission rate from 5%, which is probably what the average is in our stake, unfortunately, from around 5% to over 50%. And they talked about how they did that. And part of that presentation, they actually showed a video of President Evans, and he talked about his experience. And he had gotten with a family history consultant, and he sat down, and they went back to try and find a name that he could submit to the temple. And they actually found two girls, young girls, that were in his family that both needed the work done, but they both had the exact same name. And so the natural thinking was, well, these two are, you know, obviously this is a duplicate in the records. And so, but then they looked in it further, and it turned out that the one daughter had died when she was around one or so. And so they had named the other daughter the same name. That's commonly done in the past. And so there were two separate individuals. But, you know, they wouldn't have known that. And President Evans got emotional when he was telling about this story, and he talked about it. And it was just very touching. But the thing that he had done is that in their ward, what the ward had done is that they had gone and they had told everyone that if you give us an hour of your time, we will help you. We can guarantee you that we will find a name of an ancestor that you can submit to the temple. And we can do that. We have consultants in our ward that can do that. In fact, we are very blessed in this ward with the expertise that we have in family history. This family history center, this Linden Family History Center that I told you about, consists of six stakes, which is about, what, 40 wards or so? It's governed by a board of, it's directed by a committee, a group of 8 to 10 people. Three of those people are in this ward. So we have tremendous expertise in this ward for doing family history. And I know that we can help you. I'm not one of those three, by the way. I wasn't saying that by myself. But there's others that can help do that and help you take a name, find a name that you can take to the temple. And it only takes an hour. There was a list passed around a month or so ago, and there were 26 people in our ward that signed up and said, hey, we would like help with family history. That's exciting to me. And things have settled down a little bit now. We're going to be contacting those 26 individuals to start working with them to do their family history. But if there's any others that didn't sign up or didn't get a chance, we would love to help you with your family history as well. So enough of a pitch for doing more family history. I just want to close by telling you the reason that I do family history is because of my family. I love my family. I love my children, my grandchildren, my siblings, my parents, and my ancestors. And I want to help them, and I want to I want to go back and be with them. And I want to be an eternal family. And so I want to do whatever I can to help make that happen. And part of that, we have to do, you know, we have to get the ordinance work done. And that's an important part of it. But also, there's strength that comes from doing this work that can help bless the lives of my family. There's a lot of challenges in the world today, and I want them to have all the help that they can get. And I know that they can get that if I'm helping with my family history and helping them learn about their ancestors. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Brothers and sisters, I'm grateful for the opportunity I have of being here today. Like Scott, when, by the way, I need to mention that I was on the other side of the world last week when I get a text from Brother Holland asking me to speak today. So I just want to say none of us are safe no matter how far we travel. Like Scott mentioned, when Brother Holland mentioned family history, I struggled as well because to me there was just so many different directions that that I could go, and my thoughts were just kind of have been all over the places. I've struggled this last week on what it was I wanted to share. I want to thank Cody, first of all, because he talked about how we can always turn to the Lord in prayer, and I hope all of us are doing that this day. He mentioned H. Burke Peterson. H. Burke Peterson said he listens. Cody, H. Burke Peterson was my stake president who sent me on my mission, and so for a moment, I brought back a lot of warm recollections. And I appreciated Scott's comments. He quoted Elder Oaks when he said that if we know our ancestors, it strengthens us. And I think that's what I want to, that's kind of the focus that I want to take today about how family history has had such an impact on my life, especially as I get a little older and have a better understanding of where my roots are and where I'm going, and especially you heard Scott's, could you feel his sincere spirit and the love he has for family history? And most of all, that family history is so important to him because of his family. And that's what I'm starting to recognize more and more. I also want to put in a plug for family reunions. We had our family reunion this past summer where we invite all our children. By the way, Susan and I have 8 children and 18 grandchildren. So we have great family reunions and we have all our children gather. And we took those games that he talked about, those family history games. And Susan and I always have a family home evening. And it's our opportunity for Susan and I, you know, to share a gospel message, a gospel principle, to talk to our family about what's important in our lives and the focus and direction and things that are important to us. And at Shaw Fam this last year, we call it Shaw Fam, it was on family history. And we used the end of that family home evening to pull these games up. Brothers and sisters, we couldn't quit playing the games. Our grandchildren sat around our feet. I had it projected up. Fortunately, the home we were in had a big monster TV. And we were displaying those games, and our grandchildren sat at our feet and wouldn't let us quit, because they wanted to keep playing, because as we played, they learned more and more about our ancestors, our family. And then we'd have to pause and talk about these individuals and where they fit in. And it was just a great, great opportunity. I didn't grow up active in the church. My family was pretty dysfunctional. By the time I was in high school, my mom and dad were separated and divorced. As a result, I never went to Mutual, I never went to primary. I went to seminary for a few months and then dropped out of that because nobody made me go. So growing up, I never had the opportunity to hear stories of family. We didn't pray at home. We didn't read scriptures. We didn't talk about our families. I had no idea, I had no recollections, no understanding of who the Shaws were. As I've gotten older, in fact, to be honest with you, it's only been over the last recent years that I've looked up and wondered, you know, who are the Shaws? Susan has such a rich heritage, a rich pioneer heritage in the gospel, and I'm going to share some of that with you in a minute. And I looked up and thought, I just assumed the Shaws, my dad's from North Ogden, so I just assumed the Shaws came across the plains and had this glorious heritage, this ancestry that I could be proud of, but I didn't know what it was. Interesting note, the first Shaw that joined the church was in Centerville, Utah. But there's a long story about that, and I'll share that with you in a second. President Nelson said that while temple and family history work has the power to bless those beyond the veil, it has an equal power to bless the living. It has a refining influence on those who are engaged in it. And brothers and sisters, that's what I want to talk about, is the power to bless, not only the power to bless those beyond the veil, it has an equal power to bless the living. The first Shaw that came to the United States was Captain John Shaw. He was born in Matlock, England, in 1570. He died in Connecticut in 1620. So, I've been trying to figure out what boat he came across on, because obviously the Shaws came to the New England states very early in the history of the United States or the New World. But what I found out as I did my research, and remember my heritage, as I struggled to gain an understanding of who our family was, gain an understanding of who I was, and even more importantly, my understanding of what my testimony was, and why in those early years that I struggled so much in gaining testimony. I didn't go on a mission right away. It took me a little while to kind of get my act together and understand what the gospel was about, to really understand what the atonement was. Elijah Shaw, who was my great-great-grandfather, was born in Ohio. If any of you recall the 1840s, there was a big madness of everybody needed to go to California. So during the gold rush, late 1840s, he picked up and was going to go make his fame and fortune in California. He got to a little town called Council Bluffs and had run out of money. And so he talked to a local individual to put him to work. That individual was Orson Hyde, who at that time was led the church's presence there in Council Bluffs. And his responsibility was to outfit the saints to help them on their journey west to Salt Lake. And many of you may not realize that Orson Hyde was also helping in order to make money to kind of continue to provide for that. He was also providing resources for the gold rush, the 49ers, to get to California. And so he hired Elijah Shaw to help him with that. Orson Hyde had a young lady that was living with him, who was a widow, Martha Ann Bowen, who had two children, and Elijah Shaw kept frequenting the home quite a bit, because Martha Ann, I understand, was a fairly desirable young lady, and Orson Hyde kept telling Elijah he ought to marry her and take her to Utah. He said, I may marry her, but I'm going to take her to California. They ended up getting married in 1850, and then over time, as Elder Hyde finally received the end of his calling and was called back to Utah, Martha and Elijah had their oldest son, who was called William Orson Shaw, after Orson Hyde, their friend. And he took his family to Utah. And Elijah didn't join the church right away. He moved back to Utah. He was asked to go up to Centerville and ultimately North Ogden, and struggled with the church. He became deathly ill at one point in time, and the elders of the church came in and laid their hands upon Elijah's head and was restored to health. After he was restored to health, he proclaimed to his family that he recognized the blessings of the priesthood and was baptized, and eventually was joined the church. You know, brothers and sisters, I looked up and thought about my family and kind of the dysfunctional family that I went through. As I've learned about Elijah, can you imagine the connection that I feel with this man who struggled with the church, who was trying to figure out, you know, what was his role in life as he got to know Orson Hyde? it's allowed me, as Elder Nelson said, to understand it, that as I've gotten to know about Elijah, it has an equal power, not only for me to bless my ancestors, but for them to bless me in my life. And I love being able to share that now with my family. Something I did not know until I started this, Elijah's son went on a mission to the southern states. He was there in the early 1900s. He was serving in Galveston, Texas. Anybody remember the hurricane that went over Galveston? Samuel Shaw, his son, and three other missionaries actually rode out that hurricane and were blessed. And nothing happened to them while the rest of the community was pretty much destroyed. His son, Samuel, too, my grandfather went to the Fiji Islands, or Tahiti, on his mission. My dad went to Mexico. I went to Washington State, and our children, we have five generations of missionaries now in our family, that if I had not done started researching family history, I would have never understood and known about. What a rich heritage. Sam and I, when I get him up in the morning and prepare breakfast for him, we talk a lot about missionary experiences and the opportunities that I have to share family history. I look at Elder Bednar. This is kind of in conjunction with, as you respond in faith to this invitation for family history, your heart shall turn to the fathers. The promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be implanted in your hearts. Your patriarchal blessings, and I have my patriarchal blessing sitting in my nightstand, your patriarchal blessing with its declaration of lineage will link you to these fathers and be more meaningful to you. Your love and gratitude for your ancestors will increase your testimony of and will increase in the conversion of the Savior, and your conversion to the Savior will become deep and abiding. And that's the blessings as I've looked up at what it's been able to do for me as I've understood who Elijah was and who Samuel was and who Samuel was and who my dad Dale Shaw was and the things that they have done in their lives. Now, let me switch gears for a second. Susan, I don't know a person in the world that has a deep, deep, deep abiding testimony of the Savior and of the atonement than my wife. If there's ever a question of what is right or wrong, or even shades of right or wrong, Susan always chooses the right. I'm amazed at the depth of her understanding of the atonement. She's the struggles that she's gone through in her life, and the depth of the atonement and the way she understands that has been a true blessing for me in my life. She's kind of the spiritual foundation of our family. Susan's great-great-grandmother, I think I've got the greats right, was Mary Ann Meller, who was a member of the Willie Martin Handcart Company. Mary Ann was expecting children just before the boat was to sail to the United States, and delivered stillborn twins, as I recall. And because she was sick, the captain said that there was not going to allow her on the boat. Storm came up, delayed the passage of the boat. She was able to receive a blessing, and in that blessing, she was promised that if she would go to Salt Lake, go to Zion, that she and all of her family would be preserved. And again, I think there were seven or eight children. So think about that seven or eight children, that they were promised that their lives would be preserved so they could make it to Salt Lake. She was able to get on the boat, and any of you remember the pie in the road story, seen the 17 miracles? That was Mary Ann Meller. I've heard Susan and her family, Karen and her mom, and I've heard them talk and recount that story over and over and over again. Now think back to Susan's character. You know, if we look up and think of the blessings that our ancestors, our family, our history, our heritage can have on us, should there any be doubt in my mind of where the foundation for that was laid? It was laid by those saints who had testimonies of the gospel and were willing to sacrifice so much for their testimonies. And so, as I've read and understood this, it doesn't surprise me now of the depth of that understanding. And so, brothers and sisters, and Elder Redland, let me share this with you real quick. You'll find not only protection from the temptation and ills of this world, but you will find personal power, power to change, power to repent, power to learn, power to be sanctified, and power to turn the hearts of your family together and heal that which needs healing. And Susan has used the power of his atonement to not only heal her heart, but is using that to heal our hearts. And if you look at the depth of her testimony and the strength in her family, when Susan family get together, when Karen and Susan and Scott and their mom get together, the stories of family are hilarious. They're great. I mean, the kids, the grandkids stand up and say, "Tell us more stories." And we thrive and love and listen to them. I want to share with you my testimony of the gospel, my testimony of the atonement, my testimony of the Savior. Elder Neil L. Anderson said, "This is how you and I become saviors on Mount Zion. There is a joy and satisfaction that is only understood through spiritual feelings. We are linked to them forever." How are we going to take advantage of those spiritual feelings, brothers and sisters, if we don't recognize, our responsibility not only to our ancestors, but to our families? Susan and I have 18 grandchildren, so we recognize that poor Sam, who's the only one left at home, is not the only focal point of our responsibility as parents, but as grandparents, as parents, we have those other children who are not living at home, but who we still have responsibility for, and 18 grandchildren. And I recognize as a father, as a patriarch in my family, that this story doesn't end, and that we need to continue to remember that and continue to look for ways that how do we continue to influence, how do we continue to share our testimonies? And if we are truly, and as Elder Anderson said, we truly have the opportunity to be saviors on Mount Zion. And it's not only for our ancestors, but it's for our children, our grandchildren, and some of us in this room have great-grandchildren that we continue to need to focus on and remember in our lives. President Eyring, kind of in wrapping this up, President Eyring said that, "I promise you will be protected against the intensifying influence of the adversary as you participate and love this holy work. You'll be safeguarded in your youth and throughout your lives." I was sharing with some, sharing earlier before we were meeting that, this trip to the Middle East and having the opportunity to, I've gotten to know some folks there, to be able to talk to them about their religion. What is the Muslim community all about? And I was amazed how many similarities that we have as they look up and see the strengths of their families and the things that are important to them, things that are important to us. But when we also talked about, look at what's going on in the world. It's almost like you hate to turn on the news anymore because that's all you hear is the travails that are going on in the world, the problems that the world is facing today. But remember what Elder Eyring says, that you will be protected against the intensifying influence of the adversary as you participate and love this holy work. You'll be safeguarded not only in your youth, but throughout your lives. And I think that's the blessing and testimony I'd like to share with you today. Take advantage of what Scott offered. We spent a few, we went over to the Hollands for our little family history lesson as for family home evening one evening with just Susan and Sam and I. I think we ended up staying there lot longer than an hour. And the things that they shared with us opened up even my eyes, opened up my eyes to all the things that we could be doing and should be doing when it comes to family history. But the best part is the satisfaction of learning about my family history, learning about where my roots are. Brothers and sisters, that's my testimony today, that as we understand that, we'll not only have a better understanding of who we are, but it'll give us a stronger, stronger, stronger foundation of where we can go, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And I share the testimony with you and offer this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to thank our speakers today, and hopefully we felt the spirit of the power of family history and the temple and how that brings blessings to our life and to our families going forward. We also like to thank Brother Jackman and Sister Hill for the music. The closing hymn is hymn 76, God of Our Fathers, We Come Unto Thee, and the benediction will be offered by Sister Jean Jensen.
Father in heaven, we're grateful that we've had the privilege to be in sacrament meeting this day. We're thankful that we could partake of the sacrament and be made clean again upon conditions of repentance. We're grateful for the messages that we've received. Help us to have sufficient love for our families, both those who've gone before and those who will follow, that we will do something as the result of these messages. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.